You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Elena Gorokhova grew up in the Soviet Union in what was then called Leningrad, longing to escape her bossy, overprotective mother and the tiny apartment they shared with her much older sister. So when she was 24 years old, she jumped at the chance to marry Robert, an American man she barely knew, and she moved with him to Texas, leaving her family behind. In her new memoir, Russian Tattoo, Miss Gorokhova tells funny and poignant stories about her efforts to adjust to her new life in the United States and about how almost as soon as she was finally happily settled, both her mother and her sister moved to the United States to be near her. Her book is published by Simon & Schuster, and I'm very pleased that it brings her back to our show today. Hello.
Hello. It's great to be here.
You were here 5 years ago to talk about A Mountain of Crumbs, your first memoir, which focused on your childhood in the Soviet Union. Were you already planning to write a follow-up memoir about your experiences here?
No, actually, I wasn't. The first book took a long time to write. It took between 10 and 15 years.
But you were writing it in English, not your first language.
I was writing it in English. It was a deliberate decision that I made. I only wrote in English, and it took me all these years to learn how to write in English. Although I knew English when I came to this country, I thought I knew English, because what I knew was British English that we were taught in Leningrad. And I sort of had to relearn and learn the vocabulary, which was completely different.
Well, your writing is beautiful. Many reviews have praised it. Do you think someone who grew up speaking Russian may have a special feel for the richness of the English language? I'm thinking of someone like Nabokov, of course.
I love you mentioning Nabokov's name right after mine. Thank you.
I wouldn't say you were as good as Nabokov.
And I'm not.
And you're not writing novels.
It's possible, but English, to me, English was magic. It was a magical language that I wanted to learn when I was in Russia.
And you began studying English when you were just 10 years old with a private tutor and then in school. Was that a rarity? Did any of your friends study English as well?
Yes, they did. Interestingly, in Soviet Russia, there were special schools specialized in this profound teaching of English language. That's what the name is of that school. And that was one of the schools that I attended.
Have you watched The Americans, the television series, where people who speak English perfectly like Americans are sent here as moles?
I know about this series. I haven't watched it, but I know about it. Back then, when I was still living in the Soviet Union, there were no foreigners. It was very difficult to meet a foreigner, and we Soviet citizens were separated from foreigners in every possible way. So we didn't have this opportunity to hear the native English.
But do you think that you understood on some level, even as a child, either consciously or unconsciously, that your destiny might be outside the Soviet Union, whether in England or the United States?
That is a very interesting question that I actually never thought of. I don't think living in the Soviet Union, anyone thought that we would be anywhere else, because we did live behind the Iron Curtain, literally.
I mentioned that you grew up in a small apartment with your mother and sister, Marina. She was a well-known actress and 13 years older than you. Had your father died when you were young?
Yes. Actually, we have different fathers. Her father died right after the war, World War II, in 1945. My sister was born in 1942. And then my mother remarried after the war. And that's when I was born. So our mother is the same, but our fathers are different.
How small was the apartment?
It was 36 square meters times 9. And you get square feet. 36 times 9, what, 350 square feet, something like that?
For three people.
For three people.
Didn't it turn out that you'd been lucky to have that much space? The Soviet authorities threatened to move another family into the apartment with your mother and sister after you moved out.
Yes, that's true. In fact, we were lucky to have an apartment just for our family, because most of our neighbors lived in communal apartments where several families shared a bathroom and a kitchen. We had our own apartment, so we were pretty privileged because my father was the director of a technical school in Leningrad. But when I left, there were only two people left in the apartment. My father was dead. I was in the United States. And 36 square meters was too much for two people, according to Soviet authorities.
Your mother has since passed away. Wasn't she well into her 90s when she died?
She was 98.
Ooh. She moved to the United States after your daughter Sasha was born. How many years did she end up living here?
She lived, she moved here in 1988, so she lived close to a quarter century here. It was almost her third life.
Did she ever learn to speak or understand English?
She learned enough to become a citizen and pass the interview and a written test that is required, and then she promptly forgot it.
But you say despite not knowing the language, your mother adjusted to living in the United States more easily and quickly than you had because she had help from you and your husband, Andy?
That was part of it. She lived with me all these years she lived in our house. But it was also, I think, her wisdom. I know she was a survivor. She was a very tough woman, despite her being controlling and authoritarian and all those things. She was a strong survivor who went through World War II. She was a surgeon on the front lines. And I think this tenacity stayed with her. And when she came to this country, even without knowing a language or not knowing it well, she was able to adjust. She knew this was her life because she wanted to have her life where her only grandchild was. And she embraced it.
Was she alive during the revolution?
She was. She was born in 1914. She was 3 years old when the revolution happened.
I should point out that first of all, my guest is Elena Gorokhova. Her second memoir brings her to our show again. It's called Russian Tattoo, and we'll explain the title a little later. Andy is your second husband. You met him after you were living in the United States. How long did your first marriage to Robert last?
It just lasted a few months. I came here in the summer, and we were separated by that winter.
Robert told you before you left Russia that he was involved with a woman named Karen, and he wanted an open marriage. Do you have any idea why he wanted to marry you under those circumstances? Was he in love with both of you, do you think? Or did he just think that marrying you was a good deed getting you out of the Soviet Union?
I think it was probably both those things. He was, and I use the past tense because I haven't been in contact with him. He's still alive.
He can't be happy with the way you describe him in this book.
Well, you're probably right. He is a brilliant scientist and a writer and a musician. He has a lot of talents. And I think that's how he was. He wanted probably to take me out of the clutches of communism, help me to leave Russia. But he didn't see himself, and he told me that from the very beginning. I have to give him credit. He said that he was not ready to get married, probably would never get ready to be married. He didn't want to be a married man, and he was doing it just to help me.
From your description, it seems that Robert didn't understand or maybe didn't care how totally foreign everything was to you in the United States and how you struggled. I'd imagine those first few months would have been easier for you if he'd been willing to go with you the first time you ever went to a supermarket to buy food or to take a public bus for a job interview.
Yes, those months.
He thought you were capable just because you spoke English well?
I think so. I think so. Maybe he didn't realize how different those the two countries were, although he did well. He was good in Russia when he was in Leningrad. He was a student there. He was able to walk around and be on his own. But that's his personality. So maybe he didn't realize how unprepared I was to be in this country.
From your description of shopping in the Soviet Union in your first book, an American supermarket sounds like a dream.
It was like the Hermitage Museum, and the shelves were like art, 15 different kinds of yogurts, 30 different kinds of frozen pizza, the meats that I had never seen before. And I was supposed to choose one perfect drop in that trove of treasures, and I was completely lost. It was very difficult. I didn't know what I was looking at, and I didn't know what Americans ate or wanted or preferred. So it was hard.
And you write that he became frustrated with you fairly quickly and asked you if you'd be willing to go live with his mother in New Jersey. How did you feel when he made that suggestion?
Oh, it was... I thought it was a terrible suggestion. I thought he just sort of shipped me off to his mother because he wanted to get rid of me. And in a way, that was probably true because I was a burden in a way. I didn't know anything. He had to help me, and he didn't know how.
You'd met your mother-in-law, who was a therapist, when you'd first arrived in the United States. Did you get along well?
We did get along well. She was a psychotherapist. She was very open. She was very welcoming, and she tried to help me and show me around much more than her son, actually.
And it was much more pleasant living in her lovely home in New Jersey, rather than living with Robert and his roommate in Texas. Wasn't she more willing to help you understand how to dress, to shop, to manage in a capitalist society as well?
Yes, she did. Actually, she was the one who took me to a shoe store when I needed a pair of shoes and who helped me. It was a nightmarish experience for me because in Russia, you know, we had maybe two pairs of shoes on the shelves. They were both black. They both mangled your feet equally well. So when I walked into an American shoe store, I was alarmed because it was full of shoes. So she did help me. She helped me choose that one perfect pair of sandals at the time.
And then she introduced you to Andy, your current husband.
He
was one of her colleagues?
He was working there. There were several people who worked there, and we used to have drinks after they were finished with their appointments. And that's how I met him.
Do you think she was kind of encouraging a relationship there?
You know, it's hard
because
for me.
She knew what how Robert felt.
Right. It seemed that way in the beginning. It almost seemed that way, but I would never know for sure.
Well, Robert didn't seem to appreciate what was going on. That when you said, "Well, I'm going to divorce you and marry Andy."
It was very interesting. The open marriage all of a sudden closed its door.
After that, things seemed to fall in place for you. You and Andy were married. You bought a house. You began teaching English as a second language to college students. Eventually, you had a daughter. And that's when your mother came to the United States. Did you know from the start that she planned to stay permanently, or is that something that came up after she arrived?
It certainly came up after she arrived. She came for a visit, and she came to help with the baby when my daughter was born. And she was great. She was very helpful. But all this time, she really thought that because she was reading Pravda and Izvesti and all the Russian papers that told her that America was a terrible place where 90% of the population was sleeping under bridges, she thought I was one of those. And she only, when she came here, that was the first time when she believed, when she actually finally believed that I was not sleeping under a bridge, I was not begging for food.
And you have a different kind of relationship with her here than you did there. Had she changed, or was it just the fact that you were a grown woman, married and with a child?
Oh, that would never stop a Russian mother. No, it was the fact, I think, that when she came in the beginning, she was the same authoritarian mother who tried to control everything. But then gradually, I think because she was such a wise person, gradually she stepped back and she learned how to swallow her unsolicited advice. And she really, our relationship did change.
When did your sister arrive? She was a famous actress in Russia. Did she continued to act in this country?
No, she never acted in this country. She worked. She was a very accomplished actress in Russia. She arrived in the 1990s, in the beginning after the collapse of communism, when life in Russia was extremely difficult. And she made a decision. Well, she was older, but she made a decision to just to give up acting and to get married. She did get married. She got married to an American who she's still married to. They live in a suburb of New Orleans. And she's happy. She's growing tomatoes and cooking. She's a great cook.
You've written that your daughter Sasha turned out to be as puzzling to you as you must have been to your own mother. Although you tried your best to control her, didn't she end up becoming a rather typical rebellious American teenager with a nose ring? She was arrested for shoplifting, protesting animal cruelty, and she dropped out of college?
She did. She did. There were a couple of rough years there. She was a typical American teenager.
One kind of typical American teenager.
She dropped out of college after the first year at Bard, and she became a vegan. She protested cruelty to animals, protected animal rights, and then she went back to school. She graduated in 3 years instead of four, and she informed us when she got her degree that she wanted to be a photographer. And she said, let me try, give me a few months. She found an internship, she learned the craft, and she is a photographer in New York right now.
Is she the person with the Russian tattoo of your title?
She is. She is a person with an actual Russian tattoo, but the title is, to me, it has two meanings. One is this literal tattoo. The other one is metaphoric. It's all those influences and memories that I have about Russia that will always stay with me. It's like Russia inked into my heart.
Now, you have written two memoirs. You also have written for the New York Times and other publications. Where do you see your writing going in the future? Another memoir?
I think I've exposed myself completely. There is nothing else to write about, which is not true, of course. But I'm thinking my next project may be, and maybe based on my sister's life, a life of an actor, actress in Soviet Russia, starting during the war. She grew up in a small town on the Volga River. And she wanted to become an actress. She became an actress. She achieved what she achieved. And that's what I'm thinking. Whether it's going to be a memoir or a novel, I don't know yet.
Russian Tattoo is Elena Gorokhova's latest book. It is published by Simon & Schuster. Thank you so much for being on our show again.
It's been a pleasure.